like to just encourage us from the Word of God, and it's really a extended testimony and a blessing, if you will, of just this week of camp for myself. But the blessings that I got from camp, when the Lord allowed me to kind of chew on it, and how that translates to the rest of the 51 weeks that I'm not at camp. And I'd like to preach to us from the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And the title of this message, No Distractions. No Distractions. And of course, as we are turning to chapter 7, I understand this is the portion of Scripture where God compares the married life and the single life. I get that. And yes, you know, while the married life is a wonderful blessing, God is actually saying the single life is better because Christians can serve the Lord without distractions, without carefulness. Now, if I just kind of confess, to be honest, my head understands this principle, but my heart struggles to embrace it just because I love being married so much. I'm just saying, but I understand what I read. And yes, this principle here that we're going to read is all about living that sacrificial life where we give up even the most, or are willing to give up even the most wonderful joys that we might desire ourselves to better serve our Lord. But all that said, this I'd like to spring off from this from here. Again, the context here, it is married versus single life. But I'd like to piggyback on that thought of no distractions. And today's message is actually not so much about whether a Christian should marry or not. That's not really where I'm going to end up. But really, for us, in a larger sense, to serve the Lord without distractions. To serve the Lord without distractions, married or not. And so let's go to verse 32. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and then verse 32. And so here's the principle, here's the end goal that Paul desires. So he says, oh, God desires, and I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things of the Lord, that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And then verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit. It's for our blessing, for our betterment. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely. And that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all comfort, Lord. And we are certainly reminded just with the happenings recently, Lord, that there is great wickedness out there, that we are not in a time of peace, that we are in a time of great spiritual warfare. And there are many making shipwreck. There are many compromising and falling into sin and following the doctrine of Balaam, Lord. And there are many that and much more that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us who have the gospel, this treasure, let it not be hid from them who are lost. Help us to serve and wait upon you, Lord, without distraction. We thank you for our families, Lord. And so help us to serve as a family, whether single or married, with children, without children. Help us serve you as best as we can, always without and with minimal distraction. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The fight is real. Satan is real. Suffering is real. Tragedies are real. We're certainly sorely reminded of that just now. And I can't even fathom just the tragedy with the two sisters murdered by their own father before he takes his own life in a murder-suicide. From what Gina had shared, we didn't even know that the victims were known to our children and some in the church here. It was horrific as it is. And Gina had shared, did you read this story? I said, well, what story? Well, you know, they were going through, a bit of divorce type thing and custody thing. And mom had a bad vibe, did not want to drop the kids off to dad, but legally she had to, and so she did. And then he killed them both and then took his own life. Suffering is real. It's very, very real. But praise God, if we are saved, we do not have to sorrow as others who have no hope. And so when I think of how real things are, the battle is completely real. It behooves me to be prayed up as best as I can. We need to be engaged as best as we can in the work as best as we can, i.e., without distractions. And this is the blessing, but also the conviction to me. I was really blessed to be at camp this last week. And there's so many blessings, but as I kind of narrow down, like, why was it such a blessing? I mean, you know, we got this, but we get it anywhere else too. But when as I was able to kind of narrow down, really one area or one reason, in a sense, that allowed all the other blessings to flow while we were at camp, I kind of came to this conclusion: no distractions, no distractions in living for the Lord. And so lots of emphasis while we were at camp. I enjoyed the preaching, but it's intentionally overloaded. I won't say overloaded, nicely loaded with preaching. You have breakfast at 8 o'clock, you know, so wake up time, 8 o'clock. But then right at 8:40, 8:45, they have a morning devotion, and I really appreciate that. It's talking about, you know, just the will of God and the prodigal son. And then at 10 o'clock, so there's not much later, you have your morning devotion at 8:45, 10 a.m., you go to the chapel, you have a chapel service, and then at 7 o'clock, you have the evening service, and that goes all the way to about 8:30, 8:45, and then your day, you know, then you kind of wrap up your day, and the next day you kind of rinse and repeat, and there was lots of good preaching, lots of good singing, and my wife and I, we enjoy this. Even the meal prep was gone. Of course, you're paying for camp, okay? But the idea is, I didn't have to. You ever get stressed out what to make for lunch, and then okay, you gotta you know, put in your A game and your chef hat and make lunch, get it all ready, and then, whew, and then barely some downtime, like, oh, dinner, you gotta go again for dinner, and then before you know it, breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast, and it's nonstop, and so it's weighing on us, and just by nature of how camp was. We didn't have to think about that. We're just going to stroll right in, like, oh, what are you? Oh, we got smoked brisket. Wow. Hey, brats today. All right, that's great. You know, just go in, and we enjoyed every meal. They really upped the stakes, and that's kind of the Lord, I don't know. I claim that the Lord did that for me. You know, I love any kind of food. I would have eaten those hot dogs that they had, you know, chicken nuggets, but very, you know, cafeteria-type food before. Now it's more restaurant style. And so, like, they even have a salad bar. And so all the crazies are just loading up there. I mean, I enjoyed it. And so that was a real blessing. Every meal I enjoyed. And when you're done, you just kind of just turn the plates in and walk right out. We were spoiled. I mean, I'm just going to, but I'm just saying, there was nothing to stress me out. There was nothing to distract me from the service, from the Word of God. I wasn't sitting there like, oh, what should you do tonight? Yeah, I thawed the chicken out. I mean, I'm just saying, these are real life things that happen. So the meal prep was gone. Could just appreciate the singing, the preaching as it was. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. And then there was no distraction from the world. The number one camp rule. Campers, no phones. And so you couldn't bring your phones. Now, adults could, okay? They're not going to police you. Adults could have their phones. But even then, most of the grown-ups just kind of put it away, you know, kind of thing. And besides, my Wi-Fi password didn't work. I had a bad signal up there anyway. And so I couldn't really do, which was good, okay? But the idea is, we were just separated from, a little disconnected from the world. And I wasn't following current events. You know, we kind of just kind of in our own, you know, own bubble there up in Dunbar, which is far from anything to begin with. But there was nothing demanding my attention except the services. We just stayed on the campground all week and just kind of did our thing, enjoyed the family time, and praise the Lord. There was no distractions from my flesh, at least less distraction from my flesh. Now, what do I mean by this? We enjoyed camp, but it was exhausting. Physically exhausting, okay? Every day, if you were counting those steps, probably 10 to 20,000 steps, easy. The auditorium, I don't know if they intentionally did this, but there's a pretty big campground. The auditorium, there are multiple auditoriums, but the one that we use was all the way up the hill. And so everyone else is down here doing the cafeterias down here, cabins are down here, different activities down here, but the auditorium's all the way up the hill. And so we walk back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, which is a blessing. But I share this because between the hike to the auditorium, just the activities that you do anyway, chasing the kids, you know, my flesh was worn down. My flesh was worn down, but this is a wonderful blessing because my flesh has a very stubborn will. And it put the flesh in its place. That's why, you know, whenever you have a teen of, you know, rebellious, you know, young teen boys, you're bringing up to some kind of a reform camp or something, the first thing you do, hike 20 miles with a 50-pound of backpack and then middle of nowhere desert, so you're just literally worn down. And then they preach to you when the flesh is ready to roll over and just accept what you're being taught. I mean, so that was a real blessing. So I had minimal distraction from the world, you know, for no distraction, minimal distraction, living for the Lord, minimal distractions in from the flesh, from my own flesh. My flesh was too tired to resist, you know, what I was being preached at. And it puts the flesh in its place. And that was a blessing. And that's why fasting is such a wonderful thing. When we fast, you know, it puts the flesh in its place, and so it weakens the flesh. And sometimes I think, well, wouldn't the hunger pangs distract you? Like, well, it could, but not as much as worrying about making a meal, you know, cooking it, prepping it, cleaning it, whatever. I mean, you skip the whole meal. How about that? I'm just saying, it to keep the flesh in its place, it made me appreciate, guess what? When my flesh was so tight, it made me appreciate having food and raiment. I was so content because you're just so exhausted. You're like, oh, sitting down, what are you going to have? Doesn't matter what you're going to have. I'm enjoying it anyway. Bonus, okay? But you're just so worn out. I was so content. I was just so thankful. Minimal distraction from the flesh. Now, it's obviously, it's easy for us not to have distractions because we are at camp. I mean, I get that. Obviously, that's why it's meant to be that way. There's a price for that, okay, and you know, it's $200 a camper, okay, so there's a price for that. But it really convicted me because on Friday when I was thinking, wait a minute, yeah, this week we kind of, it was like a life in easy mode because the distractions were taken care of. We paid for it to get the distractions out of there. When we go out of camp for the next 51 weeks, we're going to be in real-life mode. It's going to be up the difficulty from beginner, from easy mode to hard mode. What am I going to do for the next 51 weeks when there are distractions? And that was how the Lord really spoke to me. And so my challenge for me and for us is to intentionally and diligently keep distractions at bay for the rest of the year while I'm not at camp. Because I was so blessed by the services. I'm like, boy, I want to be blessed like that all the time. I was so blessed when we prayed. Like, I want to be blessed like that all the time. So blessed by different things. And so I understand to some degree it can't be helped. We've got to do more work because we're not paying that way. But that was where I wanted to challenge us. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's, of course, the soldier that warreth. But 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm preaching to myself. I mean, we all have distractions. We all have business to attend to. I get that. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What a tremendous challenge. No one can do it. If you want to be a good soldier for the Lord, we cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. You know, we certainly deal with them, but don't get entangled with them. You know, the week at camp that we just went through, it was kind of a cheat mode because those affairs of this life were kind of automatically handled by the fact that we were at camp paying for it. But now that we're back from camp, may we challenge ourselves, remind ourselves, we cannot prioritize the affairs of this life. We have to deal with it, do what we need to, but we are here to do kingdom work. The battle is real. The suffering is real. The tragedies are real and they hit hard. When that happens, our prayer better be real. We better have on the whole armor of God and so to stand against the wiles of the devil. I mean, so this is for real. This is big time. And then Proverbs chapter 4, our heart in all this matter, not to be distracted, but to be focused. So Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, and then verse 23, and then we're going to go to the end of that chapter. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't, there's tomorrow, there's going to be all kinds of things vying for your heart's attention. Look at me. Pay attention over here. Click me. Scroll me. Keep scrolling. Don't let go, okay? There's all going to be all kinds of things that are going to be vying for our heart's attention. Guard it. Guard your heart. Keep it with all diligence. You know, only let it go after the things of the Lord, right? So filter everything out that doesn't pertain. And so just focus on where God will have us to go. Don't let our heart be distracted. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Where you let your heart run, that's where your life is going to end up, right? Where it's going to go this way, it's going to go that way. You know, guard our hearts. Keep it from distractions and focus on the Lord. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Now, this needs to be intentional, because my tongue, left alone, is going to rattle off things I should not rattle. In other words, as James tells us, always have a bridled tongue. Don't ever let your tongue go autopilot. Don't let your guard down. Never take the leash off our tongue. If we do it, it's like that vicious dog. We might think we got it tamed. We cannot tame the tongue. And so we take it off. Now don't bite me. Ah, we got bitten. Okay, so always have the tongue on the bridle, on a leash. It cannot be tamed. It cannot be domesticated. And if you let it run, it will run to the fires of hell, okay, the world of iniquity. And so guard our mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. This is intentional. This has to be done by the power of the Spirit of God and by God's grace, but praying and claiming it by faith. Let thine eyes look right on. And so don't be, it's easy. I'm a daydreamer, okay? I'm a dreamer kind of a guy. And I can be on my way to school or to class. If I see something out of the ordinary, there's a good chance I'll be late. I'll be like, hey, what's that? And there you go, I'm done. I just wander off the path. I mean, so guard your heart, guard your mouth, guard your eyes. Don't let it get distracted. Let thine eyes look right on. So stay on the straight. Look towards Jesus Christ and his word. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Where am I going this week? If I go over here, is this a distraction? If I go over here, am I getting entangled? And what's the deal? And focus on the prize. Focus on the prize. It's the high calling of Jesus Christ to serve him. Praise the Lord. That's our reward, is him. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Again, the context here is in God's will. And so don't be distracted. Don't be waylaid. Keep focused. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What a thought. And so, Lord willing, you know, just since it's fresh, you know, but challenge ourselves this coming week. Minimal distractions. Focus on the Lord. Lord, I really want to be fasting this week. I want to be praying. Again, we're going to be praying for those on our prayer list. I mean, they need it. I want my prayers to count. I want my prayers to be effectual. Don't just be praying and it's not really doing anything because I'm not where I should be. And so what a challenge. Have a life of minimal distractions. Don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Get things in order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I mean, we know these things. But Lord, help me to have wisdom to discern it. Lord, help me to have wisdom in my heart. I mean, I want to be a good worker, okay, but I beyond that, I want to be a good soldier for the Lord. I want to be a good laborer in his harvest. And so by God's glory, by God's grace for his glory, may we have a week of no distractions. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a thought, Lord, just to we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing me and my family this week at camp. But Lord, I'm actually very convicted, very challenged. It was an easy time, Lord, to not be distracted. I couldn't be distracted. I was just so worn out, and there's nothing to do but just go to service. What a blessing. But Lord, help me now. Help us, Lord, as a new week dawns. Lord, help us to, again, to be about thy business, not to be distracted, to keep our heart with all diligence, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for your word. May we walk according to the Spirit, Lord, and not be distracted by the flesh, by eyes, my feet, my hands. And Father, again, we just lift up Lindsay, Lord, and may our prayers for her and those who are grieving be effectual, Lord. Again, we think of our young people here. Bless them this week, Lord. And what a, oh, Lord, thank you that we, even though we sorrow, we have hope. And so, Lord, that is such, what a balm to our heart, Lord. Father, we, in faith, we believe that we will see these two girls again. What a blessing, Lord, and help us to, again, to, you know, to do right, Lord, to wake up, to understand what truly matters, maybe do things that have impact in eternity. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed as a piano.